Good evening, everyone. I'm Pastor Daryl with the Church Covington, and we are so honored to have you joining this Good Friday live. It is Good Friday. Come on in, join us live. You may be finishing up work from home today or finishing up some homeschool with the kids, or maybe you just wrapped up dinner with the family. So go ahead and come in, get comfortable, get settled, and let's spend a little time together to celebrate and to worship our way through this Good Friday. So good to see you. I know you're joining. I know you're connecting. Listen, go ahead and share this if you would. You can hit the share button right now. You can create a watch party if you are watching by way of Facebook. Say something in the chat or in the comments. Let us know that you're watching, where you're watching from, who's in the room with you. We're just glad to be together as a church on this Good Friday. And listen, this is very important. We're going to partake of communion together. So this is a BYOB party. That means you have to bring your own bread. And if you want to go and get a cracker or get a piece of bread, if you have that handy, or a tortilla chip, anything would work. Go and get some sort of a cracker, something that represents the body of the Lord, and get some juice, get some cups if you're there with your family, anyone who's going to participate in our Good Friday communion. Get that ready so that in just a little while, we can participate and celebrate communion together as a church family. This is Holy Week, and it honestly moves me when I think about, when I consider the week of Jesus' passion. It's another word for suffering, the suffering of Jesus. And I realize that so many hundreds and thousands of years removed from this fateful day in Jesus' life, it almost has become this pretty, ethereal, almost beautiful to look at picture of all that Jesus endured. But can I tell you today that His passion, His suffering, this Friday, more than 2,000 years ago, was anything but kind. It was anything but light or airy or ethereal. It was brutal. That doesn't mean that I want you to feel that same foreboding in your home. That I'm not trying to scare the kids today, but I think that His passion and what He endured for you and I is what He wanted us to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "But you and me, we need to be watchful in all things, and we need to endure afflictions." That's right. The Bible said that you and I were going to endure afflictions. Doesn't sound like fun to me. I don't like being afflicted. I don't like being hurt. I certainly don't want pain being inflicted onto my body. But yet, He tried to prepare us. He tried to tell us that life was going to bring a struggle sometimes. Life was going to bring some of those afflictions. There would be the ebb and flow, the ups and the downs in life, and that we would have to prepare ourselves. But the fact that we can remember what He endured, the fact that you and I can celebrate His passion or His suffering, man, it gives me courage. It gives me hope that whatever I'm going through is only temporary. whatever I'm dealing with is only for a moment, but that Jesus paid the price for us, and He's allowed us to live and to survive and to make it through. I know I probably had your attention at blessings or at good things or prosperity, or we all get excited about bonuses and breakthroughs, but we want nothing to do with the afflictions. I get it. But you know what? The Bible tells us, our faith reminds us that Jesus went to the cross and He invited you and me to take up our cross as well. I don't know what your cross is. You don't know what my cross is. But Jesus called us to our own personal cross. Today, Good Friday 2020, we remember there's something extra special about today. There's something very poignant about this moment as you gather with your family or a friend, or maybe you're alone in your home right now. There's something very special about this moment. I don't know about you, but in this season, it seems the presence of God has been particularly close. It seems like that old song that said He's as close as the mention of His name. Something about what we're going through, the rawness, the tenderness of what we're all dealing with in our community, it's caused Him to come very close. I believe He's going to come close to where you are right now. He's going to fill up your home tonight. And this is going to prove a monumental, special, and incredible night in your life. Our church family knows Justin Howard. He's our friend. He comes and leads worship here at the Church Covington for us on occasion. And he recorded a song just for us today. And I want you to enjoy this right now.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and extend for a crown. To the old rugged cross I'll forever, forever be true. It's shame and reproach I'll gladly pay. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, when his glory forever
Wow. Thank you, Justin, for that old hymn, the old rugged cross. There's something so reassuring, something so comforting about the old hymns. I think because they were written by a generation who have endured things, who have suffered things, who lived through things, and yet they survived. That tells me that you and I are going to survive what we're going through right now. We're going to make it through what we're living in and enduring right now. I want to remind you again, if you just joined the stream, we're going to be taking communion here in just a moment. If you want to go and get a piece of bread or get a cracker, get a tortilla chip, get something just to represent the body of the Lord, and get a juice of some kind. Prepare that, and let's take communion together here in just a moment. But I want to share the word of the Lord with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said this. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I was reading that this week, and it jumped out to me afresh. As many times as I've read these verses and led communion from these verses, this phrase, "This is my body," man, it just became so meaningful. You know, his body was broken. And right now, our church body is scattered. We haven't seen one another in several weeks. We haven't had the opportunity to shake one another's hand or give one another a Sunday hug or a high five. And it almost could feel like our body is broken. And yet we are more connected than we ever have been before. We're connecting on social media. We're connecting in old school telephone calls. We're getting together in Zoom meetings and virtual small groups. Our body is scattered right now physically, and yet we are more connected than ever. I've come to tell you today that you need this body. Jesus said, "This is my body." He said, "I'm giving it to you. You need this body." You know what? You need this body today. His body and our church body. It's so important at this time. So I want you to prepare that piece of bread or that cracker or that chip that you went and got. Make sure that everyone in the room has that with you. If you have any kids, mom and dad, you can decide whether or not they're ready for communion. But I want you to prepare that piece of bread or that cracker, and we're going to take the bread together. He said, "This is my body, and whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's take this body together. Thank you, Jesus. We receive the body of the Lord. Then verse 25, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, I want to talk to you a moment about the blood. I think you understand the body. It was his body that was given to us. But his blood is where the power is. And if we've ever needed the power of God, if we've ever needed God's presence and God's glory, it is right now. We need the power of God, not only in our community, but across our nation and around our world. You need the power of God in your world, that world right now that's sheltering safe at home, that world that's quarantined in a bedroom, that world that you're trying to manage, the world of your mind and your emotions. We need the power of God. Let me tell you something about the blood. The blood forgives us. You may need that today. You may have been invited to this Good Friday live and you're hearing something you've never heard before. Or maybe it's been a long, long time since you've experienced what you're feeling right now. But I want to tell you that his blood forgives us. When we ask, when we say, "Lord, would you cleanse us?" It's his blood that comes and covers all of our sins. You know what else his blood does? The blood heals us. Without a doubt, our world, our nation, our community needs healing. I think of the many people right here in Newton County that have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. I think of many others who are not well, they're sick, but they've not been tested and they're living in this place of uncertainty, not knowing whether or not they're a victim to COVID-19 or whether they just have some other kind of sickness. I think of the fear and the turmoil and the paranoia that surrounds this pandemic. And I realize more than ever that we need the healing of the Lord. And then thirdly, I want you to know today that the blood covers us. It forgives us, it heals us, but the blood also covers us. I'm a church kid. I've come up in the church all of my life, and the old church mothers and the church founding fathers, they often would say, "I plead the blood." Didn't matter if the if the young people were about to get on a bus to go to camp, someone, some parent, some grandmother, some Sunday school teacher was going to say, I plead the blood over you. Didn't matter where we were going or what we were doing. It was common to say, hey, Lord, we want your covering over our lives. You know what that is? That's the protection of God. So if you're sitting here today and you're virus free, you're healthy in your home, I plead the blood over you. I pray that not one more person in our community comes in contact with, nor is infected by, and surely not one more succumbs to this virus. I pray God's protection, his protection over you and your family. I plead the blood over you. And then verse 26, he said, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He hasn't come yet. So you and I are still charged with the responsibility of proclaiming the good news of the gospel, the death, the burial, and this coming Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and grab that juice that you prepared. If you're just joining and you need to go and get something, I promise you, those same church mothers might be offended, but if you got a soda sitting on the coffee table beside you, when you pick it up and remember the Lord's body and remember the Lord's blood, whatever it is you're drinking is going to become symbolic, and the Lord is going to receive it and he's going to accept it as your communion today. Let's receive him today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before we close this Good Friday Live, I want to pray for you today. I want to ask God to do a work in your life. Father, we just humbly come to you now. A day like today, Good Friday, it's a day of reflection. It's a day of introspection. It's a day of remembering your passion, your suffering, your struggle. Those hours, Lord, that you hung there on the cross, bearing our sin, our shame, so that we could be free, so that we could live a life of full joy, full peace and full happiness. I pray for every single individual that is tuning in today. I pray for every family that this live reaches. I pray for every friend, every person in our community. We pray today for those that are fighting this virus, those that are trying to fight off this virus, those that are recovering from this virus. We thank you, Lord, for sending healing. We thank you for sending your glory, your presence, and your power into our community, Lord. We pray for the world. We pray for our doctors and nurses and first responders, our ambulance, EMS personnel, Lord, every administrative, any technician, any lab worker, our scientists and government officials that are working night and day trying to find the answers. We pray today for our president. We pray today for our nation's leaders as they carry the weight of this. I pray for every business. I pray for every single home in this community. We've received communion tonight. We've remembered you today. And we thank you for all that you've done. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I know you're smiling right there on your couch. I know you're happy around your kitchen table. You feel good right now because you've remembered the Lord and you've set him back in that place of priority in your life. And listen, this coming Sunday, we celebrate Easter. It's Easter everywhere. It's not just Easter in our building or in any church building in Newton County. It's Easter in every home and in every place that you tune in. I want you to connect with us this Easter. In fact, we're trying to get everyone who's a part of our church. I know you may watch it at different times of the day, but this Sunday, Easter Sunday, get up a little early. Go ahead and put on your Easter best if you want, but let's gather ourselves. Let's get our family close by and let's celebrate Easter together everywhere. It's at 10 a.m. this coming Sunday, and you don't want to miss it because it's going to be great. Whether you're watching it Facebook Live or YouTube Live or even at thechurchcove.com, make sure that you are tuned in because Easter is alive. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening.